Proverbs chapter 30, again, verse 24, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. May God bless the reading of his word. We are talking about small things that demonstrate the wisdom of God. And sometimes we've been learning that God will take us away from our conception of what is strong. He'll bypass our conception of what is wise, and he'll take us away from the rhinoceros and the elephant and the bull and all of these bigger things, and he takes us down, and he says, I want you to look at the ant. The ant's going to teach you how to prepare. The ant has an innate sense of timing. The ant is industrious and unstoppable, and I want you, like the ant, to release your past and be more focused on your future than you have been. The coney teaches us to position ourselves. The weak, feeble, nasty-looking coney who has no self-defense mechanism whatsoever is a weak creature, but the coney recognizes its weakness and rolls into the cleft of the rock and lets the rock do all the fighting for him. We need to learn how to prepare ourselves like ants, and we need to, because God is going to move. We're standing on the brink of the greatest outpouring of God in human history. You've got to prepare yourself. Your future is more important than your past, but as a coney, you've got to position yourself. You've got to recognize your weakness is your strength. Don't try to hide your limp, lead with your limp. And last week with the locusts, we found out, teach us about teamwork, that there are certain things that we're going to be able to accomplish as a team that we could never accomplish by ourselves. Now, I'm not going to re-preach last week, but we looked at the locust, and the locust is the most mentioned insect in the Bible. But they're weird, strange creatures. I'm from the Midwest. We have our own version of locusts. We found out last week that locusts do nothing by themselves. They are utterly helpless when they are isolated. And when we isolate in our lives from the body of Christ, we become weak. You know, many of us weaken ourselves because we're so independent that we've got that rugged individualism. You see, we're Americans and I can do it. God and I are fine. You know what? God didn't create you just for you and God. He created you interdependently to need brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why it's a body. That's why many parts make up one body. That's why many pieces of your car make up your car. That's why many individuals make up an army. That's why every image of the Church of Jesus Christ is a corporate team image. And the locusts teach us they don't have a king, but there's something kingly in them that allows them to unify, and we can get more done together than we can in isolation. Someone say amen. We're moving into a time where we are going to have to link up and yoke up and cross-pollinate and become a part again of the body of Christ. It's time to widen our circle of love. It's time to break our isolation, our individualism, and repent of that. We found out last week that the locusts have no cults. There's no locust cults. You never see a wayward locust chain smoking out by himself in the corner. You know, it's just me and God. No, they know at least one thing, that they can do nothing by themselves in isolation. And you can do nothing by yourself. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as others have, the author of Hebrews says. That means that you can forsake the assembling of yourselves. And that means you can act independently. And the devil is only and always looking for sheep that are isolated off by themselves, because that's where he attacks. He's a wicked devil. He's not going to attack corporately. Like I told you, I'm a shepherd. I put myself in the center of the flock. The wolves are going to have to eat through you to get to me. And by the time they get to me, they're done with mutton. They're going to be vegetarians by the time they get to me. I was born at night, but not last night. My mama didn't raise no fool. I'm staying right in the center for self-protection. And if you stay off in the end and you get isolated, the locust isn't teaching you the proper lesson. So last week, I'm not going to I could, but I'm not going to re-preach that, because I've got 10 more points I want to deal with. And I want to begin with point number one. We're going to continue, but let me mention, according to Leviticus chapter 11, locusts were clean creatures. That means the Jewish people could eat them. They're weird. They're nasty looking. They're funky, but they're clean. And some of you look at your life right now, there's some weird, funky, nasty, odd-looking stuff in your life right now. But it can be clean. Sometimes it's of God. Look at those locusts. You, yucky poopy. Yeah, but they were Levitically clean. There's a lot of times God will use something in your life that looks a little bit nasty, like a locust. Looks a little bit strange. It's not what you expected, but it's clean. It's from the Lord. Quit being so narrow about, well, that just can't be God. Now, if it violates Scripture, it's not God. If it's logically contradictory, it's not God. But anything short of that, he might be doing something weird in your life, but it's clean. All right, now I know that's much better than what you're, okay. You can say amen, by the way. You can jump up and wave a hanky. It's not going to offend me, all right? You don't need to, you don't look like you're embalmed or anything like that. That's what I want to see. Get that hanky up in Jesus' name. Come on now. You can say amen. You can make some noise. It's all right. It's all right. I won't curse you for that. I want you to notice, first of all, locusts turn the city upside down. We found out last week that locusts move in swarms, and there is nothing more terrifying than to see the swarming reality of locusts coming to a field, because once locusts focus on something, it is a foregone conclusion. They are unstoppable. And whenever farmers or anyone with any kind of produce saw the swarming locusts come, they knew it was it, and all you would hear is, the locusts are coming, the locusts are coming. When locusts come into the city, they take the city over. God turned the world upside down with 11 men full of the Holy Ghost. You're saved today because we could trace the pedigree of your salvation back to one of those 11 faithful disciples that Jesus picked. People with good hearts and rough-looking lives. Loved one, let me tell you something. God is going to do nothing short of turning the world upside down in our time. We are standing on the brink of the greatest outpouring of God in human history, but it's going to be a work of teamwork. It's going to be a work of locusts swarming together. But I want you to notice, locusts turn a city upside down. Once they came in, there was no stopping them. Once they set their voracious appetite on a field, forget about it. We found out last week in the Midwest, they did over $20 billion of damage in 1 week. You can't stop the swarm of locusts. And when we unite in Christ, and when we put away our distinctives, and when we quit trying to be lone rangers, and we'll link up arm in arm, and you be the lungs, and you be the feet, and you be the hand, and we all find our place in the body, we are going to be an unstoppable swarm like the locust, and we're going to learn the lesson of the locust. Alone, you're isolated and powerless. But when your little gift links up with my little gift, links up with her little gift, and we don't care who gets the glory, because we want God to get the glory, and we don't care whose name gets on the temple, then we can see some extraordinary things done. I believe God's going to turn this thing around, and he's going to turn the situation around where instead of the devil running after us and us always running, we're going to be running after him. See, unity, us in unity, fulfilling the unfulfilled prayer of Jesus, John 17, that they may be one as the Father and I are one. That's an unanswered prayer. Once we unify, the devil is terrified. Did you know that God is about to put the fear of us upon people? Not just the fear of God, of course the fear of the Lord. But when the spies went to Rahab in Jericho, Rahab said, the fear of you have come upon us. We've heard about your God. We've heard about him, but you scare us too. There's a healthy reverential awe that I believe God's going to restore with regard to your life as the people of God. When they see us swarming in unity, it's the devil that's going to take flight. Come on. When the locusts came into the city, they turned it upside down, and there's nothing short of, we're going to turn this world upside down, and not because we're so wonderful, but because the power of God is seen in the swarm. The power of God is not always seen in the individual. The day of superstars and Rufus Glitterteeth and Steve Stunning are coming to an end. We don't need any, God bless everybody. Well, they're almost coming to an end until I come to prominence, and then it'll be fine. It's a swarm, don't you get it? It is the unity of the body of Christ. It's the army. It isn't a general strutting around in a Patton outfit. It's the devil's afraid of the swarm. Secondly, you can't stop them, and they will get in. Once the locusts focus on something, I told you it's a foregone conclusion, but they will get in. They are weird little creatures. They can adapt themselves. If the door is closed, they'll go in the window. If the window's closed, they'll find a hole. They'll find any nook. They'll find any cranny. They can shrink themselves down. They can sneak and wiggle under any door and window. And once they hit a town, they are unstoppable. And we are going to become an unstoppable scourge to Satan. We're going to get in. It's time for us to get in this time. I believe I'm telling some good news to you. You're going to get in this time. See, there are times when doors are shut and you just can't get in. But locusts can't be kept out. I mean, they're going to be in your Cheerios. You know, these things, they were one of the plagues, you know, in Egypt. Can you imagine opening up your Cheerio box? There's nothing but locusts. You look in your toilet, there's only locusts. They're unstoppable, and they're going to get in. And loved one, remember, they used to, in the ancient world, dig pits and fill the pits with water because they knew the lead locusts would lead millions and millions of locusts into the water, but they will not stop until their very bodies have absorbed the water and created a natural bridge where all of their companions can walk over and bring their destruction. And when you light a fire, the lead locust will lead millions into the fire, but their very bodily fluids, by their multiplied millions, will put out the fire, so their compatriots will be able to go in and fulfill that collective impulse that's given to the congregation. Loved one, we are self-sacrificially laying ourselves down in the body of Christ for one another for the grand purpose that God's will would be done and that His kingdom would come. And when we are as committed as the locusts are in our corporate endeavor, we're unstoppable. And we're going to get in. Mama, what's this in the pudding? They'll get in your fridge. They'll be in your yogurt. That's just the way they are. And it's disgusting. But they're clean. So remember, we're reversing. You go, oh, that's disgusting. Yeah, it is disgusting. But you know what? Flip the imagery. It's not the devil doing the destruction. It's us, unified as the body of Christ. See the picture of the enemy now having fear in his heart as he sees us unifying. See, that's why he's trying to divide and conquer all the time and split that one up from that one and start gossip about this one. And did you hear about so-and-so? Did she said this about you? She did? Yeah, oh, I can't believe she. You know what? And then he divides, conquers, isolates us, offends us, and then we're not an army. We're just Bob standing over in the corner. He's not afraid of us individually, but he's afraid of all of us. Number three, never give up. Never give up. Locusts teach us to never give up. Because again, if the window's shut, they'll go through the door. If the door's shut, they'll climb under the door. They'll climb under it if they have to. They'll climb around it if they have to. They'll climb over it if they have to. But they will never stop. They will. The fire cannot stop them. Their own bodily fluids in mass will put it out. The water cannot stop them. Never quit. It is not over when you fail. It's over when you quit. I remember one of the lowest ebbs of my life. I was at a conference in Washington, and I was standing at a book table, and you know every preacher had their books out. Someday I'm going to have my books out, too. You have to buy one of everything. I'll sign it to you, too. Best wishes. I'll put a Bible verse. What's your name, darling? Green is such a difficult color. Pastor Green. Yeah. And I saw on the book table, it's not over when you fail. It's over when you quit. Don't ever stop. Don't ever stop. Locusts never stop. They will never stop. They are so hungry. They're insatiable. They're unstoppable. And that's what we are when we unify together. I need you and you need me. I can't do what you can do. Abraham Lincoln one time was trying to explain the most basic concept to this man. And no matter how Lincoln said it, the man just said, that Lincoln, you'll never understand a word he says. Finally, the man left and they turned to Lincoln. They said, you explained that 5 times. It was very simple. The man didn't get it. Lincoln said, there's some fleas a dog can't reach. There's some fleas a dog can't reach. There's as simple as you make it. There's some people aren't going to ever get you. They're not going to understand what you're saying. But you know what? It's okay. Because I can say it in a way that they'll get it. See? And there's some people that don't understand me. Who does he think he is? I never understand what Craig said. But they're going to hear you, see? So we need one another. You've got my back. I've got your back. Fourth, locusts are trendsetters. Bees go out and send point men out. And then they come back and inform the hive. It's 3 o'clock. We've got some danger over there. Locusts are trendsetters. Locusts just leap, hit the wind, swarm, and there's one united impulse that leads them, and they do not have a blueprint, and they do not have a book, and there's no previous biography on locustism. Christopher Locus Cumbalus, he came, and he saw, and he called. They're trendsetters. They're cutting edge. God is about to do things in our culture. There's no blueprint for it. There's no book for it, and all past revival will not even help us as an indicator. Locusts are trendsetters. You can't stop them. They just start doing. You know, that's Napoleon's secret to victory. That's another tape. It's called Coup d'Oeil, Napoleon's Glance. He learned everything that you could learn about the strategy of every military leader, and then he would just get his army moving, and he would look and watch for an opportunity. He'd look and he'd lead. And they'd go, where are you going? I don't know. And he would just look, 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 look. And there would be an opportunity. And he'd put all of his men at one point and boom, he'd win. He was rolling dice for the history of the world. That was it. That was his strategy. No strategy. When he was conquered is when he gained a strategy that he publicly announced. Then he lost. Locusts are cutting edge. They have no blueprint. They're in motion and they go until, there it is. And once they fix on something, they're trendsetters, loved one. I'm telling you, God's about to do some things we've never seen before. And as much as we've heard prophetic utterances about something big's coming, well, that's profound. 12-year-old boy with one eye and half sense can sense that. There's something a-coming. Yeah, well, duh. But you're never going to know the details because as trendsetters, locusts are blowing with the wind and they are at the mercy of the wind and we are at the mercy of the wind of the leadership of the Holy Spirit right now. And he's going to do some astonishing things, not the way we'd think, and he's not going to use the people we would think he should use. But that's another series that I'll sell to you for $100 because you're my partner. Amen. Where's the hanky now? Yeah. Fifth, and I got 10 points. I got to move on. Locusts get misjudged all the time. See, they've got long, narrow wings, but the wings aren't the secret of their strength. The legs are the secret of their strength. So everybody's looking at their narrow, skinny, nasty-looking wings, and they're missing the true source of their power. Anybody ever looked at you and misjudged you? They're looking at the wings of your lack of education, or looking at the wings of your lack of experience, or looking at the wings of your moral failure, or looking at the, and they're misjudging, misguiding the true source of your power. Locusts leap. They can leap to such a degree. Equivalent to me would be me jumping 40 yards right now. You imagine me jumping 40 yards just from a, just, you know, doing that Superman thing. Well, see, locusts are misjudged all the time because people misjudge the source of their power. The very thing God's going to use to propel you forward is the thing that people are going to not focus on about you. They don't see any value in it. What's your past? What have you been redeemed from? What have you been saved from? What's the perpetual sin and thorn in your flesh God constantly has to redeem you from? See, people are going to look at you and see wings instead of legs. That's okay. That's okay. I've been misjudged all my life. Join the club. We can all have a pity party, blow through a whole box of hankies and Kleenexes. But when we're done, realize people may misjudge you, little locust, but God is not unjust to forget your labor of love. All you need to know is he knows all about you. He sees your heart. He even saw when you screwed up, but your heart was right. See, sometimes you do the right thing for the wrong reason, and it doesn't count. No one knows that but God. Sometimes you do the wrong thing, but your heart was right, and God knows that. And he'll even credit something to your account as a positive that was really externally a negative because he knew the heart behind it. That's another partner series. Wave the hanky now. Come on. Ever been misjudged, little locust? They're misjudged all the time because their appearance is against them. Sometimes what people see when they look at us, our appearance is against us. We don't sound as smart as we should. Or we're not as articulate, all right? Or we may walk a little bit funny. My son Grant, since he was born, runs on his toes like this. He still does. He's 13 years old. It's the cutest thing I've ever seen. He would run sideways into the room on his toes. He still does it. He's got one leg shorter than the other. Well, sometimes your appearance is against you, but it's okay. You can be misjudged. Locusts teach us that you need to know the source of your strength and not worry about that. See, their strength is that they can leap. They can't fly. They leap. Some of you don't even know the source of your strength yet. You're trying to hide something about your past. You're trying to hide your limp. You're trying to put mascara on the very scar that would become your star. My God. All right. I'm sorry. It's too good. I've got to leave. My jet's waiting on the tarmac. Seventh. My prayer jet. I'll pray for you as I go by. Seven. The locust appears to fly, but he really jumps. You see, the thing about locusts is, as I mentioned, their source of strength is not in what you think it is. Sometimes people misjudge you completely. because they don't realize it's the mess that you came from that becomes your message. It's the test you've survived that becomes your testimony. And people are always, there's going to be an element of confusion struck in the heart and camp of the enemy in this next outpouring of the Holy Spirit. See, locusts, they look like they fly, but they don't. And when you come near them, they leap and they go no particular direction. They go forward or up or usually right in your face. Ah, my God, right in your new beehive hairdo. There's an element of confusion. They don't fly, they jump. And just when you think you got we had these big nasty locusts. And, you know, you'd pull the car out and, you know, you'd destroy an entire generation of them just getting out of the driveway. And they had bug eyes, and they were really weird. But we kids would go up to them. You know, older kids would say, why don't you go pick that up? And you go, and they jump, like, all weird and strange, just like your life. People think you're going right, and you'll go left. And you think you're going left, and you'll go right. And all of a sudden, there's an element of holy disorder that God's about to bring upon the enemy in his camp. Because locusts are just unpredictable. And what God's about to do is unpredictable in your life. Relationally, it's unpredictable. Friendship-wise, it's unpredictable. The next door he opens, unpredictable. Quit thinking you know what God's going to do. You don't know squat. Nor do I. Just stand there and with your finger in your nose, as my dad used to say, like a lump on a log, and whatever door he opens, confidently go through the door, as though you've been anticipating that door forever. I'll just go through this door, evidently. Yeah, he had to nail shut every other door, and behold, the door openeth. We goeth. That way, yeah, just walk through the door. It's going to be surprising. It's not conventional. Amen. Eighth, locusts know when to jump. See, the strength is in their legs, and they don't fly. They jump, but they know inherently, they have an internal sense of timing. Did you know everything in the kingdom of God is timing? Everything. Everything. You can do the right thing for the right reason. If it's done at the wrong time, it's totally wrong. Look on our website. My life verse is Isaiah 50, verse 4. A word in season to him that is weary. You got to have the right word at the right time to the right person with the right heart, and then it's right. Locusts know when to jump. They don't jump. See, they don't fly. What they do is they leap and they swarm, and the wind just takes them. Oh, it's just breathtaking. It's terrifying. That's what the enemy's about to be, terrified. See, what you are not individually, you weak little harmless thing, corporately swarming, a Roman army was not as feared. Nuclear weapons are not as frightening as a swarm of locusts. Loved one, listen to me. We're standing on the brink of the greatest outpouring of God in human history, and we're going to jump at the right time, and we're going to catch the right wind. See, it's a corporate wind. Notice the imagery of wind. God's in charge of what's about to happen. It isn't the individual locust to say, look what I have builded with my locust talent. No, no. When the wind blows, you just leap, and you all have to leap together. And there's such a sense of terror. Do you think Peter felt comfortable leaping out of the boat? Peter said, if that be you, Lord, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. Can't we theologize a little bit and do a four-hour class on Greek or something? No, come! And he leapt, and he had everything to lose and apparently nothing to gain by doing this. But, of course, the other disciples stayed safely on the boat to criticize. No, 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 to the left, to the left. Oh, sinking. He walked on more water than any of those critical fools on deck. That's another booklet. Locusts know when to jump. Ninth, the wind is going to carry this swarm. It's not us doing the heavy lifting, thank God. What God's about to do, he's about to do. All we have to do is, as I mentioned, just show up. Remember Moses leading for 40 years? Oh, he's a real profound leader. You know what he did? He got up in the morning, and if the cloud was moving, he said, the cloud moveth, behold, we go. Everyone saw that. The clouds stop. We stop. Wasn't that an easy ministry? Dumb as a post ministries. That's what I need. The wind is going to do all the work in this move of God. God's going to do all the heavy lifting. If it's up to me, it's going to fail. I promise you that. It can't be up to us. We're locusts. We have to just jump. When the wind blows, the wind is going to carry the swarm. The wind carries it east, west, north, south. God is in charge of this. And you know, there's a comfort to that. I don't know about you. I'm blessed. I've spent 34 years in ministry trying to hump and pump and hear God and press my eyes and see the funny lights and fast and pray until I was almost dead to many people's praise. And I tried to do every spiritual gymnastic and psychotechnology conceivable. And did you know what? That's just like a little monkey trying to jump through hoops in order to gain the favor of God. He loves you anyway, honey. He loves you. I fasted once and had visions of turkey legs, mashed potatoes, and gravy. Yep, gold Krispy Kreme. Christian heroin, Krispy Kreme. And finally, 10th point, and then we're gone. When you leap into the wind, you have no power to navigate anymore in your life. You're about to step into something bigger than you, and you're about to lose control of your life. Sorry, that's how it works. Look at the imagery of Noah's Ark. He had Noah control over the ark. There was no rudder on the ark, no engine on the ark. There's no oars in the ark. It was made to just be at the mercy of the tide. We're about to let God navigate everything here. And you know what? There's nothing that challenges us more as individuals than giving up complete control of navigation. But when the locusts jump and swarm and the wind does the work and picks them up, it's a majestic sight, but none of them have any navigational control. There's no locust saying, okay, 2 more blocks, 3 o'clock, we're moving to the left. And there's no sense of control. See, what God's challenging in my life is a sense of control now. Whether it's to do with my kids, whether it's to do with the church, whether it's to do with anything, how are we are going to have to get used to Him navigating. We're going to have to get used to waiting for the right wind to blow and to jump at the right time, and He's going to get all the glory for what's about to happen. Father, we thank You right now that we're locusts, that we're going to accomplish more together than we could conceivably accomplish on our own. We surrender ourselves to You, Lord, and again we pray, forgive us for isolating ourselves and forsaking the assembling of ourselves as so many times, and Lord, for forgetting that we're a part of the body and we're a part of the army and we're a part of the house of God that is built together. Lord, forgive us for our rugged individualism. Let us learn from the locust, Lord. Encourage the people listening and watching. Jesus, You're the answer, and we surrender ourselves to You, and we ask that Your precious Holy Spirit would speak these truths of the locust to our hearts and apply them to our lives right now, Lord, where we will see that teamwork is the greatest threat to the enemy. Forgive us, Lord, for isolation, and bring us back into communion with the body of Christ. And Lord, make us a part of something greater than ourselves, and do something in our life that we can give our full self to, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can someone say praise the Lord right now? Give the Lord some praise. Give the Lord some praise. Go ahead, wave that hanky. Get some praise.